What's up? You guys are listening to a Velvet's Edge podcast. This is Kelly, and I'm here with my friend Hippie Pomeranz.
Hi.
We were just having a conversation because I'm like, that is not a real name. Like, there's no way that's your real name.
I tell you what, it actually is.
Right.
And I love it. It's short for Philippa. So, you know, being a children's book author, we can't really have as one of my many things. We were just having a conversation about how many things we both do. But it was like Philippa at a little kid's book signing, not so much. Pippi, on the other hand, makes everyone laugh, everyone smile.
And so, they can actually pronounce the name Pippi. I feel like a little kid would be like, Phila. They could not do it. So, okay, you mentioned the children's book thing, and we'll get into a lot of that later, but as you said, you have about 10 jobs just like me, so let's just kind of dabble into what those are to introduce you to the people. But the first one is a production company. That's kind of where you got your start, right?
Completely.
Okay.
Completely.
So yes. What's the production company called?
So PJ Pictures is
PJ
my
Pictures.
Production company.
Yeah.
I got my start at USC Film School, actually.
So that's how you ended up in LA. Yeah. I'm still in LA for people, by the way.
Yeah, I went to SC Film School, so that's Amazing. How it all started. Yeah.
So you knew you wanted to do this from the get-go.
I was making videos like with all my girlfriends, like with those camcorders.
Oh, yeah.
I was that girl.
Yeah. You know?
But in Australia, it wasn't a job. So I said to mom and dad, I'm like, I want to be a film director. And they're like, yeah. Graphic designer, maybe. Nothing
right.
wrong with it. But it was like, no. But my parents couldn't quite wrap their heads around
it. Yeah.
So it took me a little navigating to figure out how that dream was going to happen. So I did the London thing. I moved to London.
So you kind of dipped your toe in the big move.
Yeah.
And then ended up in LA for film school.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So with the production company now, you guys do huge shows. I mean, y'all did Fashion Bloggers in Sydney.
Yeah.
So that was like a whole reality show following multiple fashion bloggers, right?
Yeah, we got in just at the, you know, just the right time.
Yeah.
Know? So I could actually still get Instagram handle Fashion Bloggers. Do you know
yeah.
what I mean? I always seem to miss, you know, you miss that, right? You're like, what's the next big thing?
Oh, yeah.
And we got right in there. And so, yeah, we followed five fashion bloggers.
Who are all huge now. It's
huge.
Like Harper and Harley. What other ones were on
Harper and Harley, like Sarah only had, like, I think it was like, not even 30,000 followers. Like,
oh my gosh.
So low. So
she's huge now.
Huge. So we had Mandy from Oracle Fox.
Okay.
Harper and Harley. Zanita. She's fabulous. She lives in New York now. Margaret Zhang, who's like rock star photographer. And we have Kate Waterhouse, who's sort of racing royalty. So
Wow. Yeah.
So it's all different styles, all different girls. And it was so much fun. So we were on E globally.
Wow.
Yeah, around the world, which is fantastic.
Well, we love E over here.
We
and speaking of that,
yes.
I mean, we know each other through Kristen Cavallari.
Yes.
And you do all of the Uncommon James videos, which are so good. Like, when she showed me the first one, I was like, who did this?
Thanks, babe.
Beautiful.
You know what it is? I think because I've known Kristen for, I think since she was 18. Like, we've known each other for a long time.
Right.
So I know who, I can see her.
Yeah.
So I feel like.
And you know her style.
Yeah.
Like, you nail that every time.
I just feel like we know each other so well, so we're so comfortable. We've got that shorthand,
mm-hmm. So
we can sort of get there really fast and get emotional. Like, she's just fabulous to work with,
totally,
and create with. You know,
yeah.
I mean, doing that video back, it feels like ages ago, but the brand, not really, right? Like,
I mean, the brand has just exploded.
It's exploded,
right?
So that video, that first video that we did to the song Vapor,
mm-hmm.
Which is my friend's song, Toby. How long ago? That was like a year and a half ago,
probably.
Right?
Yeah, a couple years for sure.
Crazy.
So, what's your process with that? Like, with when you let's talk about that a little bit. The process that you and Kristen would maybe go through to create. I think that's so interesting because like you said, you really capture her style. I think you've really helped kind of give the brand like a visual aspect. So like what goes into that from your side of it?
It's sort of, I'd like to say that it is strategic content creation, because uh-huh. you've got to know where you want to go, mm-hmm. if that makes any sense. So the first one, it was really capturing behind the scenes. So really stepping in, the photographer did such a beautiful job that I just wanted to capture this dreamy Kristen in this beautiful feminine state, because I think everyone sees her doing everything, you know,
right.
all the other stuff,
being a mom babe.
And being yeah. a boss babe and all that stuff. And I really wanted to capture the pretty.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then let the jewelry obviously speak for itself.
Right.
And then I thought black and white was really, and just having a hit of color would be a really beautiful entree for that.
Mm-hmm.
And then moving to the next one. The next one was done in Nashville. And we really talked about how important it was that it is a Nashville brand, and it's born there, right?
Right.
So to get her fans and to get the consumers and all her friends to see where she's from and put that sort of the heartbeat into the mm-hmm. into the brand. So that's why we chose Nashville for the second one. And of course, clothing being so important.
Right.
You know, to everything she does. I mean, she's such a fashion Easter icon. Like, I just bow down.
I'm yeah.
Like, how? And just pairing that with the jewelry was another thing too. And having fall, using all those beautiful colors.
Mm-hmm.
What people don't know is Kristen always wants the fall campaign, but it's in spring. So right. we're shooting. So it was so funny. We were like, oh my gosh, it is hot as in Nashville,
yeah.
and we're doing the
you
fall.
You can cuss on here, by the way.
Okay. I was going to say hot as shit.
It's hot as shit.
I couldn't believe it. I was like, oh my God, I'm melting. How are we going to make this fall?
Oh,
fuck.
Totally. You're probably wearing sweaters
Oh my gosh. It was seriously so many. And then we did the winter campaign at the same, we shot at the same time and literally had like an hour. I was like, light the fireplace, get some crystal,
oh my God.
You know, put a woolly jumper on and
yeah.
like a sweater, for, you know, and it was like so hot out.
It's like 100 degrees
outside. Yeah, exactly. All that beautiful mystery of.
Do you actually like, you'll hire a crew and then do you sit with Kristen and you guys or whoever it is you're working with,
yeah.
you guys bounce the ideas off of each other or do you kind of come in and bring...
I come in and bring...
You bring the idea.
Yeah, a little bit because, you know, I know that's the beautiful thing about having this shorthand with Kristen is that
right.
because, you know, we're like sisters, you know, I call her my sis. Mm. Because I know her so well, I feel like I can save time and go, hey, listen, here's this concept or this concept. Which do you like? And we haven't had a disagreement on anything yet. On the creative. But now it's becoming, now Uncommon James is such a brand and huge.
Right.
We actually have to look back and go, like, not look back, look forward and go, how are we going to actually, well, like, who's the demo? We're going to actually,
right.
rather than go, yay, I want to be creative.
Right.
Let's just go and shoot something.
It's way more strategic.
Yeah. Now yeah. we've got to actually go, okay, who's the demo? What are we doing? What are the what do people want? And it's kind of crazy and kind of fun in the same way.
Totally. It's like a new challenge.
Yeah.
Which obviously you love new challenges because, so this is where you and I, we were at dinner the other night
yeah.
and I was listening to you talk and there's just a couple things. I feel like I gravitate towards you just naturally because you are just like a good hearted person.
Okay.
And you know that
Ditto.
Immediately
Ditto.
Meeting you. But I was listening to you talk and I'm like, oh my God, she does so many jobs just like I do. And that's been a huge challenge for me lately is to try to figure out like, am I doing the right thing by taking new things on or am I like overstretching myself and those kind of things. So you have this production company,
yes.
but then you've also started this like book line of amazing books, children's books, yeah, that are meant to inspire and empower girls. So yeah, talk a little bit about Umbrella Girls.
Like, okay, so the Umbrella Girls, oh my gosh, I love them so much.
I do too, and I just met them.
The Umbrella Girls are 8 girls from around the world, okay, and each have a different story. And basically, I want them to be every little girl's best friend.
Yeah.
The Umbrella Girls are there for sunshiny days and rainy days. Mm-hmm. You know, the Umbrella Girls, you know that feeling when you stand under an umbrella and a girlfriend comes under, or you know, or a boyfriend,
yeah,
and you just feel safe?
Yes.
That's where the name came from. So it's just about feeling
under the umbrella.
Yeah.
I love that.
And I think for me, I've got an amazing partner, Alison, mm-hmm, and she's from the meditation world. So, and she does a lot of speaking at schools, mm-hmm, for self-improvement, self-empowerment for girls and also boys as well. But we're sort of focusing on the girl side of things, and she's been amazing. So she's come with the sort of knowledge on that side, and then I come in with my creativity to try and make it a brand that actually will sell globally.
Yeah.
So it's sort of it's been my passion project, and as we all know, passion projects
turns into businesses.
Yep. And there it is.
Exactly. These my girls, life story.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and that's totally. I mean, that's the thing, right? So I know that you've got that many fingers in pies, mm-hmm, as well, and it's true. What you give life to, or what you give attention to, breeds life, right?
100%, yeah.
So I sleep, I think of them at night, and I'm like, these girls want to come and like break free.
They're
like,
yeah, wow. I mean, who knows where this is going to take
you? I know.
Like, what got you so inspired to go, okay, I've got to just, I mean, obviously there's a huge movement happening right now, yeah, about empowering girls. Like, I even started this podcast, and without, like, subconsciously,
yeah,
I have only had girls, and then my psychic, who is a gay man, who I'm like, you're essentially a girl too. Yeah, he's amazing. But I mean, I don't mean to do it, but I do think we're in such a movement right now.
Yeah.
Like, there's all these really strong women that I just want to showcase.
Yeah.
And is that kind of what inspired you, or?
Okay, truth?
Yeah, truth.
Okay, so the truth is, I've been trying to have a baby for 5 years.
Okay.
So the girls have sort of been my therapy in one sense, and writing about just creating these books have given me, it's my therapy in one sense as well, because they've given me such comfort trying to have a baby. And it's been such a tough journey for us, mm-hmm, that's why I just needed something that I could control.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It makes total sense.
Yeah, like in the film business, you're always pitching your ideas, and TV, mm-hmm, you're always pitching and pitching and pitching, and the rejection is so massive. Mm-hmm. And then you sort of compile that on top of the lack of success having a baby. It's like, oh my God, I can't, what do I have control of?
Exactly.
Right? So
that's, how you get out of bed every day to face that.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's why I had to have, these girls have kind of saved my life in one sense, because they bring me so much joy.
Do you feel like you were writing about empowering girls to empower yourself, actually?
Yeah, I think so.
That's so,
yeah.
It's so funny. I connect with you so much, because I started Velvet's Edge after probably the hardest time in my life, when I had gone through, I say a really bad breakup, but that's not really giving it justice. I was engaged and called off the wedding and all of that. I mean, it was the darkest time in my life. But like you said, you find
power and
power
comfort.
Totally in creativity. Like,
totally. I really believe that. And I really believe I've worked out that I'm not a depressed person.
Right.
I can understand that, how people go there. Mm-hmm. But for me, it was like, I go the other way, and mm-hmm, I've got to do more.
Mm-hmm.
You know how you were saying about juggling, and we do so much?
Yeah.
I think we are the similar people like that, mm-hmm, because I can't sit around and
wallow.
Mm-hmm. It's too depressing.
Yeah. I'll wallow for a little bit.
Oh, I don't. Don't get me wrong.
But then I'm like, I gotta get out of here.
Don't get me wrong. Yeah. I watch a Christmas movie in July. In July,
that.
my friend. I do.
There's nothing like a Christmas movie to cheer you up.
I'm not going to lie. It's my thing.
I love that.
And I might have found Thanksgiving movies on Hallmark.
What? They make Thanksgiving movies?
Yes, they do.
I don't even know about these yet. Okay, I'm going to write that down.
You can call me.
Yeah. So I do love that, though, because it in doing stuff like that, I feel like you're kind of giving yourself the courage. And I think we were talking about this earlier. It's like in the world of social media, everyone just looks like they have their lives together, or we put all of our best stuff out there. And so when real life stuff happens to you, a lot of times I find like I don't even know how to navigate it.
No, it's like, totally true.
And that's what these whole books are about. Like, you guys are writing stories about these girls. They sing, what was the one you were telling me earlier?
Zoe. So yeah. So book two, she finds out she's going to be a big sister. She's from Paris. Ooh la la.
Yeah.
And she dreams of being a photographer, you know, like her favorite accessory is her camera. She gets told her world is, everything's perfect. She lives above a flower shop in Paris.
Sounds dreamy.
Right. And she's just, she is the single child. She's just happy as. And then she finds out she's going to be a big sister.
Yeah.
Well, then life comes crashing down.
Right.
So she gets on her bike, and on the weekend she goes and finds out what it's actually like. What will it be like to be a big sister? So she gets, you know, she becomes an investigator, a journalist.
Sort of thing.
Which is fun. Like, she's sassy. She's brave. She's inquisitive. She's not, you know, she's not the girly girl. You know, it's and there's nothing wrong with that. But there's other girls out there as well. You know. And then we put it in a sort of a beautiful 9-month window. So that it's really, the theme is change. So you see you see fall come about, you see winter come about, and she learns that actually life is going to be really cool with being a big sister. And it's really, you know, you feel her. So there's so many different lessons. So,
oh my God, I'm sitting here like, I need to read this. Because that is true. It's just about like getting to the new acceptance of what your new life is going to be, even when it could be better.
Totally.
Sometimes it's still so scary to face that.
Totally. And I want moms, like, you know, you've got it. Like, I assume when you become a mom, like, you've got to read these books. You know what I mean? Like, some of them are so crap. Like, the books.
Oh, God,
it's like you want to stick needles through your eyes with some of the stuff that's out there. And it's like, oh, my God. The amount of people that I know that sing the worst tunes, like, in the car. You're like, oh, gosh. Oh, gosh. Please, dear God. Maybe I'm writing stuff to protect myself.
For sure. But I think that's the reality of life, is like, we're all going to go through changes. We're all going to face these obstacles, even just small ones. I mean, like, becoming a big sister does not sound like a big deal to us now, but imagine when you're a kid, like, to start learning those lessons of acceptance and how to like face different changes and challenges at a young age.
Totally.
What a good message.
And also people like learning how to go to a new school, a new country. You know, I've been faced with that.
Mm-hmm.
I remember I'd always went to a girls' school, and I remember coming to America, and I walked into my first film class, and I had to stand up. I stood up, and I was like, good morning to the teacher, and there was guys, and I was like, oh, my God.
Like, why are there boys?
Yeah. Like, it was like,
I loved what you were saying earlier about that teaching people how to navigate through the change, and that the girl is like responsible for learning that, how to do it for herself.
Yeah. That's the most important thing, right? Like, mm-hmm. Like we said before, I've had to pick myself off the ground because of, you know, personal stuff with the babies, with the baby and lack thereof. And I think that if you can learn the tools to survive and be inquisitive and brave and courageous when you're 3 years old, I think that we could have a successful tribe of girls that we are raising to really stand up for themselves and never have this bullshit that's happening at the moment. Like, I don't understand how so many women have come forward only now. Like,
Oh, it's right, so, like the Me Too
do
stuff.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of crazy. And I think it's enough. I think that it's totally, I think with the new generation of girls, we'll never have to go through that.
Well, right, because also we weren't trained to think that way until now. And, like, I do think there's so much TV and there's so many other messages out there that are saying, like, you need to find a man to rescue you and to provide for you. And it's just now starting to happen where we're going, wait, like, I want a man in my life. I want a family in my life. However,
yeah,
I can still be successful. I can still love myself. I can still succeed in life
completely
without that, which completely. I mean, for me is an empowering message. It's hard out there to be a single girl. Totally. It's hard not to have a family, but when it's something you want, you know.
I agreed and you know, in my situation, I live without my husband
right
a lot of the year.
Right, he lives in Australia.
It's
right,
it's sort of, note to self, it's successful marriage.
So maybe you have it figured out.
But no, but I've got a man that supports me in my dream.
Right.
So that's what you want. Like,
right.
And if we can teach the girls to stand up for themselves, have a voice.
And not just settle and get married to get married.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, have your mum walk you down the aisle. You don't have to have your dad walk you down the aisle.
Right. Like, think outside of the box. Right.
God, so that's the sort of the premise of all these books.
What's next for Umbrella Girls? Do you know, or is it kind of in the works?
Well, we've got we've just finished an animation sizzle.
Okay. So what's a sizzle? Because that's lingo we know, but a lot of people might not know that.
So sizzle's just sort of a teaser, a 2-minute sort of a taste of what the TV show could become. I've written a song with my friend Toby called
So Add Songwriter to Your Poetry.
It's really, I'm a poetry.
Okay, we'll add that to the list too.
But it's all about hip hopping on a rainbow and pirouetting on a dream.
Yeah.
But it's all about, it's really, you know, the next generation of girl power, because, you know, there's something beyond girl power. I'm sort of not, it's more than that. It's a movement.
Totally, because does that make sense? 100% to me, because I think that girl power is being misinterpreted.
I agree.
It's like, it's not male bashing. Like,
no.
Men should be built up too. They're great too. Like, I think that girl power is about loving yourself and owning your own power. And that's it. It doesn't mean bringing anyone else down.
I agree 1,000%. And it also doesn't have to be pink.
Yes. You know, it could be black. It could be gray.
It could be black and gray.
It could be silver.
It could be on brand.
I mean, it could be neon. It could be whatever you are. It's about owning yourself.
That's exactly right.
Okay, so not to bring this down at all, but we did talk a little bit about what happened to you and what you're kind of currently going through with this child stuff. And I think that you're open to talking about it, which is huge. So can you kind of tell people a little bit about your story?
You're the first person that I've been able to do this with. I have done this with, so here we go.
Okay, we'll see what happens. We may both be crying.
You've got me here. So Joshie and I, my husband and I, have been trying to have a baby for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And as Kristen will be able to attest to this, this has been going on since her first. So that's how long.
It's a long time.
It's a long time. Mm-hmm. So I've tried to carry a baby. We've done everything. So, but I've had 8 miscarriages myself, which is kind of bananas in its own thing. So we started off in Australia, and then my doctor in Australia was like, listen, I think you should go to America, because there's so much more that they can do in America, because surrogacy is illegal still in Australia.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, it's...
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so it's not... Yeah, you can't be a surrogate in Australia. So for us, it was like, every time a cycle didn't work, I was always like, just sort of felt alone, and I was left going, what do I do? Do I go? So anyway, so after that, I had 4 miscarriages in Australia, and then we went to San Diego to the IVF clinic there because it had a relationship with my doctor.
Okay.
So I should have thought that through, because I was like, yeah, one and done, I'll be in San Diego, it'll be fine. yeah, I'm still driving to San Diego.
Wow.
But yeah, that's a note to self, that's a whole nother thing. So we went to the clinic in San Diego, and we had eggs, and the great thing is with them, they were like, listen, we just need to get your eggs out. So we did a multiple cycles.
Okay.
So I think that's really important when any woman is looking at their eggs, and don't just do one cycle.
Really?
No, and just... if you own, you've got to get like 20 eggs in your bank.
Really?
Yeah.
This is good. Yes. To know. You know, I'm thinking about freezing my eggs.
I'm your egg woman.
Okay. I'll be calling you.
Honestly. Because the thing is that once you think you've got all these years ahead of you, every cycle takes 6 months. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, so the clock, that baby clock ticks over.
Do you mind me asking, how old are you? is that putting you on the spot? Sorry. Well, I'm just curious because of egg stuff. Yeah. Like,
So.
Okay, we'll skip that part. We'll edit that out too.
I'm like, how honest do you want me to be?
I want you to be honest. You're as honest as you're comfortable with.
I've been 38 for a couple of years.
Oh, okay. Well, I was just wondering if that's a factor in the egg
stuff. Yeah, it is. So you've got to sort of get your eggs out by 37, 38 to have the best quality.
Right.
Eggs.
Okay.
So, you know, like I said, I've been 38
for a couple years.
Yeah, just a couple. Okay. So, but the doctor said, like, just, we've got to keep going. So that was the most important thing for us. And then it was like, we got the eggs tested and half of them, the embryos tested, and then half of them didn't work.
Wow.
Yeah. So then you're like, holy crap. That's the next thing that people don't tell you. Test your embryos.
Right.
Right. So then it was like, we just went through the next couple of cycles and it just wasn't working. And my doctor was like, I don't know what to do. Literally.
He was even at...
like, nobody knew. There was nothing wrong. There was nothing left.
Just wasn't sticking.
No.
How frustrating.
So then we were like, okay, so what do we do? So we ended up going and getting a surrogate. And as many people have heard, probably watching the Kardashians, surrogacy is not that easy. Like, in terms of, you know, it's a financial pressure.
100%.
It's also matching with someone. It's like... online dating,
right? Really?
Oh yeah,
because you're talking to them every day.
So Josh and I went to this random hamburger place. Of course, it's hamburgers because it's Joshy, and had hamburgers with these people. It was like a double date, but it was blind, and they're actually going to potentially carry your child. It's like,
it's crazy,
right?
Yeah.
And she had a beer, and I remember going, oh,
that doesn't maybe work for me.
And she goes, it's my last one, because, you know. So I was like, okay, cool. But they ended up being lovely. I mean, look, it's amazing what it's a gift, right? They're going to carry a baby. Like, who does that? It's craziness. And we did the transfer and we got pregnant the first time with twins. So we were super, super, super excited, and the pregnancy went perfectly, perfectly. And then out of the blue, I was actually going to have coffee with Kristen in the morning, and I had just shot the Uncommon James Spring in Malibu. And Mum and I, the day before, were talking about double strollers and blah, blah, blah. And we were 22 weeks and 6 days. And I got a random text in the morning, and this is from our surrogate, and she said, I've had a little bleeding. I'm cramping a little bit. I'm just going to go to the hospital. And I walked into Mum and I was like, do you think I should go down? She was like, you're here. Why don't you just go down? Wow, that was the end of it all. Like, I couldn't believe it. Like, I got to the hospital and I literally walked into, it was like a war zone. That's the only way to describe it, because you're so not expect. I was just like, we were talking on the way down. She's like, they'll just put her on bed rest.
Right.
Remember, we're 22 weeks and 6 days. Like, 24 weeks it's only a week and one day from when babies can survive. And it was, it's like 10 a.m. in the morning, and I had nurses, I had specialists talking at me, and I was just screaming. I was like, I don't understand what's happening. What do you mean? What do you mean? And the baby's heartbeats were fine. And then I was holding her hand and her water broke at like 1 p.m. It was all over. And so then we had to wait. She gave birth to Parker first. And I cut his umbilical cord. And we did skin to skin with him. And he was alive for 56 minutes with me. And then it was time for Ellie. And she was littler, and it was really brutal. And then cutting the umbilical cord, and I was just like, I can't believe after everything that I've gone through that I'm not losing one baby, I'm just like losing two.
Right.
It's like, are you kidding me? And then the nurses were so amazing. They put both of them on my arms and they took their last breath on me, and I was like, I just couldn't believe it was my life, you know, after all these years. And I had to go home, you know. It's like, and all my dreams were crushed right there and then. So it took me a long time, a little bit, but looping, I had to call Josh too. He was in Sydney, so I didn't tell him as she was pushing to go into labor. He was getting on a plane from Australia, and I had to tell him at LAX that the babies didn't survive. It was so fucked. So fucked. And that was January 11th this year.
How have you... I mean, we're both crying. Sorry.
Sorry.
No, I mean, this story, it to me, it does the whole, like, I don't understand. I have a really hard time sometimes because I'm like, this just isn't fair. Like, you guys have, you know, been through so much. Why would that happen? But what did you do? Like, how do you get out of bed?
So this is what I did. I spent 2 weeks on the floor just not knowing. And then I think we were talking about this before. I felt so alone and I lost my voice, and I'm a talker. Yeah. We all know. I love a chat.
Yeah.
A little chat. So when my voice wasn't, I couldn't speak. I was like, I don't know how to tell friends. So I did an Instagram post, and that's how I told people. And it was just.
Because you couldn't find the words.
I couldn't find the words, and I didn't know what to do, and I couldn't email. I sent an email with the same post out to my close friends. And,
yeah.
But it was, the response was so overwhelmingly beautiful that it was intense to start with because it was constant. But then there was such love, and I felt this global vibration. And I know that sounds so hokey, but I felt so supported.
Yeah.
I felt so supported once I'd posted that, and I don't know what it was, but it was like I sort of exhaled and I was like, whew, I can get through this.
And then you opened yourself up for connection too.
I also opened myself up for the other stuff too.
What do you mean?
I don't know. I was so nervous that I would get like someone going, you shouldn't have done that. But I didn't get any of that. I have women have DM'd me from around the world that have gone, I've been through this. And then given their words of encouragement, or people saying, I have never been able to say out loud that what I've gone through.
Right.
So there's really, really a gap of being honest about what we've going through, because fuck, we go through so much.
Everyone does.
We try and do it all, right?
Right.
And I don't know why with miscarriages and losing babies, why that's the last thing we talk about.
I don't either.
Do you know what I mean?
Because as you're telling the story, I'm thinking, you know, I've had a couple friends go through similar things, and I'm like, oh, but y'all need to talk, because I do think there's such a power in knowing that you're not alone and that... Just hearing someone else say exactly what you felt and think is so powerful.
So powerful.
And healing.
And you know? And healing for everyone, right?
Agreed.
So what I did was, I just was like, I cannot leave this be. Mm-hmm. So my husband and I, you know, I created a charity. We created a charity called Pom Poms and Stardust.
So cute. I love that.
And I wanted us to be, I wanted it not to feel like a heavy charity. Mm-hmm. And I wanted it to feel like we're going to be your biggest cheerleaders, mm-hmm. you know. And I've written a song called Mother of Angels.
I love this.
And okay. All the money that we're recording it in 2 weeks.
Okay.
Yeah, and all the money from that will go into the charity.
Yeah.
And then what I'm going to do, we were going to do our own charity, but what we're going to do is link into another established charity because I just want the money to go to the right area, you know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah.
And I feel like the right area is women like myself that need support.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that we're known as intended parents, and I think that we're the forgotten people. Like in terms of, I think going through the surrogacy journey, you're not actually having the baby, so all the focus
goes to the surrogate. Wow.
And I've been left on the wings here,
right?
And that's what I'm getting the feedback. So it's been nice figuring out mm-hmm. how we're gonna help, mm-hmm. but it's support groups. And just also giving people like some money so that they can. I haven't worked. Like, you don't. You're in job. Like,
you can't. Time. Yeah.
So there's just ways. So it's really, it's been great throwing myself into that.
Amazing. Well, and then the books,
yeah,
Empowering Girls, yeah. And what else is in your plan? Do you have
Here it is. Here's where we leave with a little bit of hope.
Okay, give it to us. Bring us the hope.
Here's the fairy sparkly dust, because I ain't leaving this podcast without them. So what I did, we very quickly decided that I personally could not leave Ellie and Parker's name in vain and be depressed because we're not going to be parents. So I went back to the surrogacy agency, okay. who have been amazing.
Okay.
Went back to my lawyer. We hired another surrogate.
Okay.
And we're currently 16 weeks pregnant.
So exciting.
So it's crazy. And I think of Ellie and Parker in my heart. I told you, I just did some Reiki this morning.
Yes.
Just trying to connect with everything and really start celebrating the happiness and joy of being mm-hmm. 16 weeks pregnant.
It's amazing.
And it's the first time I can smile and look at you in the eyes and go, we're pregnant.
Yes.
We're pregnant.
Yeah. Even the other night, you were having a harder time talking about it.
I know.
So this Reiki really
is a miracle. I know. She really worked me hard, girl. But like, I just, you know, and that's with your listeners. I just want, there is hope. Like,
yeah.
You just got to get up. You got to shower.
One foot in front of the other.
Yeah. And just know there's women out there like me that have been through it. And there are, you nobody's alone.
No.
You know what I mean?
Totally.
Yeah. So.
So where can people, do you guys have like a website set up for this charity?
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm going to link all of this on velvetsedge.com, but say
Amazing.
It again.
So it's pompomsandstardust.
Okay.
.com. So, yeah. So we're there. And you know, we're going to do every event's going to be under the stars.
Yeah.
So we're going to do an outdoor movie and a launch of, the song.
Oh.
So that's going to be, stay tuned. I'll let you know.
Okay. It'll probably be on the website though, right?
Yeah.
You guys on social media yet?
Yeah, we're on social media.
So is it at Pom Poms and Stardust?
Yes.
Love that.
Yes.
And then where can people find the books? Because I know a lot of moms are going to be listening thinking I need these.
I know. Thank you.
And I think everyone does, especially girl moms.
Thank you. So books are online at the moment.
Okay.
We are doing a whole print run before Christmas. So
okay.
Yeah, the holidays. So, and there's a coloring in page. So yeah, so that's what's the Umbrella Girls.
The Umbrella Girls.com. Okay.
Yeah.
And then what's next for you production wise? All these jobs.
Guess what?
What?
Probably Uncommon James. Right?
Oh yeah,
new Uncommon James videos.
Season two of Very Cavalier is coming up.
Yeah, no, I think, you know, I've got a few things on the boil, but, you know, again, just focusing on the projects that I love.
Yeah.
Because I think that if you give, you know, it's just about being at this point in my life, it's about doing what you love, working with friends,
yep,
and just laughing all the way.
Speaking of laughing, we should talk about the scene you were featured on Very Cavallari. You and Chris been talking about a GQ article that Jay read. If you guys want to know what Pippi looks like, go check out that episode.
Okay, so I was like, that was the best. Oh my gosh. So I did that. That was after Ellie and Parker actually passed away. And it was the first time, it was 4 months in, and I look at it and I'm like, I was a little bloated then.
You're being hard on yourself.
No, but I didn't know.
It's one fabulous. Of my favorite scenes. They're talking about pleasuring a woman.
Yeah, and the stuff that got cut out, which I'll say again, I was like, hey, hubby, you need to get that article. Yeah,
I think every man needs to go read this GQ article. We'll ask Kristen for the link.
Totally. She's smiling all the way, right? So, hello, he must be doing something right.
Amen to that. Oh, Pip, I just love you so much. Oh, thank you for doing this with me.
Babe, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much. I feel like we could talk forever.
I mean, we really could. Like I said, you guys, I'm going to link everything on velvetsedge.com so you can find out more about all of Pip's adventures there. And I can't wait to hear about everything in 16 weeks. Here we go.
Okay, here we go. Yes, I can phone in. I'll phone
you. Yeah, seriously. Oh my God, everyone's going to want to know. So we'll do an update.
Perfect.
All right. Thank you, thanks so much for listening, you guys. We'll see you later.
Bye.
Bye.